If that continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. The story of the Holocaust is well known. 6 million Jews and several million gypsies, homosexuals, and others considered undesirable by the Nazi regime were murdered from the late 1930s to the mid-1940s. The horror of concentration camps such as Auschwitz is easy to see, if not comprehend. But while the mass exterminations were going on, another camp called Terezin inflicted a different kind of terror.
It was a so-called model camp that the Nazis used to show the Red Cross they were treating prisoners well. It was also a camp in which musicians, artists, and theater people were held in order to stage shows for visiting officials. It was in that camp where a cabaret called The Last Cyclist was created by an artist named Carl Schwenk in 1944.
More than half a century later, playwright Naomi Pates found the script, which had never been performed, and adapted it for the modern theater. She joins us on the phone now, along with the director of the Milwaukee premiere, Mark Burgers, and dramaturg Dan Humschild, who's a fellow at Milwaukee's Holocaust Education Resource Center. Pates explains how she came across the original script.
This has been a long process and a labor of love. My husband is a congregational rabbi, and our congregation snagged, for want of a better word, a teenage arts conclave, which was held every 4 years. And he chose as the theme the Jewish communities of various places. So it was the Jews of Morocco, the Jews of Renaissance Italy, the Jews of Soviet Union. And for this particular year, he wanted to do the Jews of Czechoslovakia with a particular focus on Terezin. And he came across in a book called Terezin, which is published by the Jewish communities of Bohemia and Moravia, which is the Czech part of what was then Czechoslovakia. There was a chapter on theater in Terezin, theater and cabaret. And in it was one paragraph description, a long paragraph, about a play called The Last Cyclist. It was the only description that was in this entire chapter. And she called it our most courageous production. And I wrote a minor script, if you will, to be done with narration and, you know, some oohs and ahs by chorus for this program. And it was very effective. It was powerful, and even in its simplicity. And it stayed with me. I decided I wanted to find the play. We spent a lot of time going to the Czech Republic and have a number of friends there. And I alerted friends there that I was looking for the script. And a few years later, actually probably 2002 maybe, a friend who taught at Charles University found a script in the library of the Theater Institute in Prague. And it was in Czech. And it took a while before I had it translated. So it took another 2 years before I was able to get the script. When I got the script, I looked at it. It was in two acts at that point. At this point, my script is in one act. But the second act was radically different from the description in the book about Terezin, which was written in 1965. The same woman who wrote the chapter on theater in Terezin, she had been in Terezin. She was a survivor. She had been a member of the cast of that play. And she did from memory a creation of The Last Cyclist, which she wrote with a colleague who was the theater director of the Rococo Theater in Prague, an avant-garde theater. The woman's name was Jana Sherova, and she performed in the production. And as Mark knows, and as Dan knows, Jana Sherova appears in my play. She was probably the only survivor of the cast of The Last Cyclist. I needed to see if I could recreate as closely as possible the script that matched the description she gave. The original was totally and forever lost when Schwenk was sent to the East and died on a forced march just before the end of the war. I used survivor memories and drawings of costumes and sets that had been done by a man named František Zelenka, who was a prisoner in the camp as well. And slowly but surely, I constructed something that I thought would work. In order to make the play relevant and make it understandable to our audiences, our contemporary audiences, I created a framework, an introduction and a conclusion. The framework begins with Jana Sherova, who I wanted to give a great deal of credit to, and her recollections as an older woman. And then in the play version, it segues into the night of the dress rehearsal. And I'm not sure I mentioned earlier that the play was banned after its dress rehearsal by the Jewish Council of Elders. They managed the internal workings of the camp, the food distribution, the schools, at the behest of and as prisoners of the Nazis. They were terrified after the dress rehearsal because the allegory is very overt. Clearly, the lunatics are the Nazis and the cyclists the Jews. So I created that opening and then a closing which wraps around the end of the performance of the dress rehearsal.
Thank you, Naomi. That's perfect time to bring in our two folks here who are actually working on the production here. Mark, how did you come to know of this piece?
Actually, Dan brought it to me or to us at Cardinal Stritch. So in October of 2017, we had a meeting about the script and he kind of plunked it in front of us. And there was so much else going on at that exact moment. And I read the script and to me, I was like, whoa, this is really complex. The concept of this show and doing justice to all of the things that Naomi spoke about, as well as our pedagogy and our students, it felt like it was possibly too complex for just our students to do or to put on. So I kind of left it for a little bit and came back around to it, and we started these discussions, and we realized that if we could do a collaboration between our organizations and do something really unique by bringing professional actors and artists in to work alongside with our students, that we could really do a more expanded production process that lasted almost a year in order to really explore the play the way that it needed to be explored and then get it to a production and rehearsal standpoint, which is where we're at now.
And so, Dan, how did you find this play? Was this just part of research, interest in what was going on in Terezin?
Well, it all trickles down from Naomi originally. Mm-hmm. Naomi is friends with one of our board members, Betty, and Betty brought it to our attention in the first place. And that's where the seed of the idea was germinated initially. So it kind of was a trickle-down effect until it got to me. And then our partnership with Cardinal Stritch enabled me to take it to somebody who actually has a stage and has all the actors and has all the wherewithal and skill to actually bring this to life. Because if we were to try to do this on our own, I genuinely have no idea how we would go about doing that. And so when it came to me, it was an obvious opportunity to generate a really strong element within the partnership. And so we were just hoping that Mark would agree that this is a good opportunity to expand, hopefully, the offering in this year's slate of shows. And then when he came back to us and said that he was interested in it, then the partnership really grew. And I genuinely think that this is, so far at least, the pinnacle of the partnership between our two organizations.
Well, it's also theatrically so fascinating. I mean, anyone who knows anything about history of the Holocaust knows that Terezin was the model camp. Mm. It was the camp where they used to bring the Red Cross in to show that things really weren't that bad and everyone was treated well. And look, we have orchestras, and look, we have singing groups, and look, we have theatrics. Mm. And there are other pieces that have come from that time, from composers and everything. I had never heard of this. I didn't know anything about a cabaret. And you have to think, Naomi, like you were saying, the elders must have been terrified because this was such an overt slap in the face, mm-hmm. and a commentary on what was actually happening at the moment.
Absolutely. As you say, there were a great many performances of all kinds and thousands of lectures for which there is a book that lists not only the people who gave the lectures, but the titles of the lectures. In addition to The Last Cyclist, only one other production was banned, and that was an opera called The Emperor of Atlantis. And it also was so overtly anti-Nazi.
For the rehearsal process, Mark, how much history did you have to impart to your cast, particularly the younger cast? Was there a lot of that, and was Herc involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the big, not necessarily fear, but the big challenge for the whole process was that there is so much history and so much specific. And as theater artists, we want specificity and focus. You know, it's not October 1956, it's October 15th, 1950, whatever, you know, those things are for theater. So we had a really good opportunity to work with Herc and Dan to get a lot of historical information, especially for our younger cast members and our production team. So we'd been meeting for over a year. We've gotten the chance to listen to a few Holocaust survivors speak. We've had a lot of information brought to us and research from Naomi and Dan and other sources that we've imparted to the cast since they were cast. What's been a challenge is that we have to balance the idea of how much is this a historical representation of the Holocaust down to who we cast, what they look like, what their ages are, et cetera, and how much of it is a homage to the artistic spirit of those people in creating this art, this artistic artifact, or what I like to call like a political cartoon, or like she says, an allegory. And that has been really interesting. So our cast does not look like the people who were necessarily, we don't know exactly who was in it. So we have to make that choice of how historically accurate are we trying to be and how much are we performing an artistic production?
Right. I was going to say that balance between is it a museum piece
right.
or is it a vibrant, you know, current piece of theater? And you have to kind of honor, you know, both the history,
right.
but also, you know, this is a modern audience that's mm-hmm. seeing this, and we are how many decades removed now? I imagine it's a tough one. It's a
yeah.
tough balance to strike.
It ends up being both. I mean, that was our large discussion with Dan, with Naomi. I asked her in my casting, can I cast diverse ages, backgrounds, et cetera? And once we went down that road, we had to accept the fact that we were also going to be using our own artistic talents and backgrounds the same way that they did. And to me, that makes this production out of the highest respect for those great artists who created this piece, which is really intricate and interesting and multi-layered and fascinating. So that's kind of where we went with it.
Mark, let me ask you a question.
Ooh.
I've found over the years of this being done in colleges and high schools by professionals, by the amateurs, a remarkable thing that I had not anticipated, which is that the cast of in each place, whatever their age is, has gotten remarkably involved in learning more and more about the history. One woman said to me, this is why I went into theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was for, you know, for things like this. And another person said, when I complimented them on their performance, we didn't do this for us. Mm-hmm. We didn't even do it for you. We're doing it for them. And have you had that kind of a response?
100%. Anyone who has involved in the Milwaukee theater community, if you take a look at our cast list, the cast is full of amazing mm-hmm. actors, and all of them in the audition process. The amount of emails that my casting director and I got during the audition process just saying, like, thank you for calling me into this. I did all this research. It's so interesting. I mean, they're great artists, so they do research anyways, but everyone mm-hmm. has seen this project as extremely special. And I think it's been really interesting for my students because to them, this is just another show. I mean, it's not just another show, but it's one of four shows in a season, and they're all working on all four
mm-hmm.
shows. And I don't think they understood until they got into the rehearsal room just how different this project is. I'm unable to do the amount of research to encompass all of the things we could learn about this. So the actors have brought so many things into rehearsals and told me facts I didn't know, or pieces that they found when they were researching a character like their own, or in Laura Monagle's case, actually researching Yana. And it's been absolutely amazing.
Dan, as you have been involved as self-appointed producer, is that what you said?
That's just what I call yes. myself to my friends. So
yes.
they're very impressed.
And as dramaturg, are you impressed with what the students are bringing to this and what the cast in general is bringing to this?
Absolutely. I was brought in as the dramaturg and as kind of the resident expert. And I'm very, very happy to say that the students have exceeded the master at this point, it seems like, because I kind of provided them with a number of different avenues for exploration. And our organization did, you know, provide the link to the Holocaust survivors that they've had a chance to bear witness to. But the cast and the crew and everybody on the true production squad has done a remarkable job of really, really digging in and exceeded all of my capacities tenfold, which is precisely the kind of thing that we were hoping would happen when we brought this production to Cardinal Stritch. And in fact, it's kind of spilled out of the theater and into other realms as well. For example, some of the students who are affiliated with Mark's program And are also interested in fine arts, have created their own student-generated and student-curated art gallery that is responding to The Last Cyclist, and that'll be opening the same week as the play in the space directly adjacent to the theater. And this is exactly the kind of thing that Herc was really hoping to have happen, is that this would be an educational opportunity to the utmost degree, that students would really take the reins and feel empowered to discover for themselves what this play is about and what it means to them in the modern day. And they've really done that to an incredible degree.
Is there any idea, once this production specifically is over, of taking it around Wisconsin or taking it elsewhere, even just locally?
Now there is. Thank you for the idea.
Because I'm thinking there's an awful... I mean, Naomi's used to having it produced around the country.
Right.
But, you know, there's been such a collaborative spirit in what you're describing to me. It sounds like it would be something that would be worth taking on the road, as it were.
I think it definitely would. I mean, I'm really interested. I often think of theater as being the beginning of a discussion or a continuation of a discussion, and I usually try not to answer the questions for the audience but pose them. So I'm very interested to see what the reaction from the audience is, what they pick up from the piece, and what we think will be a very complex and layered response to the piece. So I think it would have legs for sure around the country.
Naomi, I want to thank you so much for joining us by phone. And Dan and Mark, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thank you for including me.
Naomi Pates adapted the script for The Last Cyclist by Carl Schwenk. It's directed by Mark Burgers, co-chair of the Performing Arts and Theater Program at Cardinal Stritch University. Dan Humschild is Holocaust Education Fellow at HERC, the Holocaust Education Resource Center in Milwaukee, and serves as dramaturg for the production.
Pates will do a Q&A session following Thursday's premiere at the Nancy Kendall Theater at Cardinal Stritch University. Performances will run through the middle of April.